Last week, we heard a strong voice in the desert, the confident, confident voice of John the Baptist. He told us one is coming with the strong wind of the Holy Spirit and with fire. This one is to come with an axe to cut down every tree that does not bear fruit. John has devoted his entire life to prepare Israel for the coming Messiah. Such work has drawn great crowds. In today's lesson, the voice is silent. King Herod has had enough of John the Baptist and has had him imprisoned. You might remember that Herod Antipas took his niece, who was already married to his brother, and married her. John, being the fiery sort of preacher, condemned Herod. John mixed his religion with politics and got burned. Out of the silence of imprisonment comes the voice of John the Baptist, but he has lost his confidence. John ends his silence by asking one of the most poignant questions in all of Scripture. Are you he who is to come, or shall we wait for another? Now, if you're trying to sell the gospel, you wouldn't include this story. Oh, what a courageous thing to include John's question, but they give it to us. He's saying, in a sense, are you for real? The great preacher of promise is now the chief questioner of Jesus. It could be that in that dingy, dirty prison cell, John feels vulnerable to shame and futility. Given his terrible circumstances, how can he be sure that he is right about this Jesus being the Messiah? If John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, can be so easily silenced, what about this Jesus? To make matters worse, John is hearing reports that Jesus is in trouble himself. How could that be? He thought the Messiah would change things so that the wicked would no longer prosper and the righteous, like himself, would be saved. Now you wonder, you have to wonder how John can utter such a question. Has he forgotten what happened at Jesus' baptism? When he was there, it was so clear that this Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus requested the baptism of John, but John said, I have no business baptizing you. But Jesus insisted. Then when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and God was so clear, so very clear. This is my son, the beloved with whom I am well pleased. Now you can't ask for much more. I don't believe for a minute that John forgot Jesus' baptism. It might just be a case of letdown. There is that predictable letdown between the spiritual experience and Monday morning. You go off to a spiritual retreat and you get close with God. It's a very wonderful experience. And you come to the office and try to tell people about it, and they say, I'm really happy for you, really happy for you. But I don't think John's problem was just a case of spiritual letdown. He is experiencing the phenomenon of moving from expectation to reality. As we move from the expectation to reality, there's some difficulty. There's the day of the wedding. The bride is in a beautiful dress. There's the great white cake, the flowers, the service is wonderful. God, it just couldn't be more romantic. And then you enter your first apartment, and it's so small, and you start paying bills, and boy, it's just not so romantic. You know, the reality is something you have to deal with. Or you want to be a school teacher. That seems like a noble profession. You want to satisfy the appetite for a student's need to learn. You want to fill those minds with great knowledge. But there are days when you feel more like a policeman, breaking up fights and getting their attention. It can be a difficult thing, expectation and reality. We all experience some dissonance between expectation and reality. While this may be what have bothered John, I think what really plunged him into doubt, and it is serious doubt, is what he heard about what Jesus was saying and doing. There seemed to be no wind, no fire. John has heard that Jesus has asked a tax collector, Matthew, to be a disciple. How can that be? Everybody hates the tax collectors, Jews who are now working for the Romans. It was also reported that after Jesus called Matthew, Jesus had dinner. He had dinner with tax collectors and sinners. It got all over town. When questioned by the religious leaders, Jesus says, "For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." There is a scene where Jesus and his disciples enter a community and they reject Jesus. The disciples say, "Let's bring fire down on them." But Jesus says, "No, let's just go to the next town." There's no yelling in the street. Jesus seems so very gentle. Where is the fire? Where is the fire? To top it off, word has gotten out about his sermon. "If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also." No retaliation? Do good to those who hate you, speak good to those who mistreat you, and then these three words, which are the most challenging words in all of Scripture, love your enemies. Wow. John had handed Jesus the axe, urging him to strike at the wooden wood of the world, but Jesus refuses to take the axe. If you are at the altar and someone has something against you, you cannot say, "Well, that's their problem." No, you go to him and make it right. It's not too hard to understand what John was going through. There was disappointment by many in Jesus' day. He had the power of heaven right in the world and to punish the wicked, and he didn't use the axe. We have our expectations of Jesus as well, do we not? We may have thought that Jesus was somehow insurance against loss and grief. We all get impatient with God, wish God was a little quicker at answering our prayers, or dealing with the evil in the world. Are you he who is to come, or shall we just wait for another? We had hoped. But Jesus gives an answer that is in the passive voice. He merely describes his ministry. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus' answer leaves John to arrive at his own conclusion. He has all the information he needs to make a decision. But John and each one of us is left to discern, is this the one? Either this Jesus is the Messiah or the greatest charlatan of all time. It's an either or, really. In the Gospels, some discern Jesus is the Messiah, and some just see another country preacher from Galilee. It's not that obvious. Then Jesus concludes the description of his ministry with one of the most ignored beatitudes in all of the Scripture. The beatitudes are not in just one place in Matthew. They're interspersed, and we get one today. "And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Now, who could take offense at Jesus? But the Beatitudes strongly suggest that offense is possible. listen to the words of that sermon again. Very, very challenging words. There are many in Jesus' day that all they wanted was for him to ascend a throne, and boy, he would have had them. They would have just been drawn to him. But the Beatitude contains both a warning and a promise. Did you notice the promise? There is the warning. It warns that the activity of Jesus may shatter expectations about what God will do and not do for us. The agent of God does not often support conventional wisdom. And conventional wisdom is what everybody already knows. Everybody knows it. God's wisdom, much more challenging. It could counter what everybody knows. But there's also promise, notice, in the Beatitude. For those who remain faithful to the gospel and make the necessary adjustments to God's wisdom, they will be blessed. Blessed are those who take no offense at me. Now, we might want Jesus to just give us the axe and right the world with the fire and power of God. But he tells us to lay it down and sends us back into the city and give yet another bus ticket to someone who needs to travel somewhere, or some food and a drink to someone who's in great need. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot on the global scale, but God's in all that. Jesus seems to be saying, go tell John that the one whom everyone expected has arrived. Things may not be working out the way he wanted them to, but please assure him that great things are happening. We don't know what John's response was. The story remains open-ended, just as it remains for each one of us. What do you think? Better yet, what do you discern? Is Jesus the one you had expected? Are you waiting for another? And if Jesus is not the one, just who and what are you waiting for? Perhaps today is a day to accept this Jesus as he is, as we hear him this morning and watch him and see how he acts. To receive the Jesus as portrayed in the Gospels contains a great promise, and that promise is to be blessed beyond measure. In other words, to find the reality of a true and abundant life. Amen.